I have a mustache hair tickling my nose.
Just yank that out.
Ew, no, God, that fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Let's see, you think I'm going to destroy this baby up here?
No pain, it's a moneymaker.
No pain, no gain.
So, last episode, it was a fun. It was a fun little shopping day, you know, a little bit of role play. Uh-huh. There's a little bit of weird intrigue going on in the town of Breach Hill. You guys got some work to get done on your new citadel that you have now commissioned the town smith at Tuskhead Stoneworking, Mr. Rorsk Axbane. So, the other thing that we need to talk about, though, is that there's some guy in town who swears he saw a dragon.
Hmm.
He's crazy. Dragons don't exist in this world.
They do. I saw it. I saw it over there. It came out of the citadel.
So Adalar's
deal with him.
Yeah, Adalar's very concerned about this, knowing what he knows about Dahak and the Cinder Claws. He's going to not rush over, but he's going to walk with purpose and say, "Good fellow, tell me what is this you're going on about?"
I was running late with my shipment, and he's a carriage driver. Uh-huh. As I was passing by the citadel, I look up and I see a dragon. It was a dragon. It flew up out of it. It just flew.
When was this?
It was late at night, and the midnight probably. Last night. The moon was high.
Last night.
You couldn't mistake it. It was clear skies. I know what I saw.
Wait, what color was this dragon?
It was dark. I don't have dark vision, so I can't see that. But I saw the silhouette. I saw the silhouette of the dragon. I unmistakably saw it.
And Adalar's just kind of thinking in his mind. It's like, well, you know, Kezra had that snake, and he's working all night. Dragon from the citadel. Kezra, did you... You were up all late last night. Did you see a dragon?
No, I think I would let everybody know that. The dragons are terrified.
And,
perhaps it's the least kobolds.
For the first time ever,
we are dragons.
Oh,
maybe they saw us.
Shut up. I'm talking about you.
For the first time ever, Adalar is mistrusting Kezra.
That's not the first time.
Well,
I would also like this. To roll.
And is going to roll a perception check against his, I guess, it's a lie, so roll a perception check.
Yeah. Oaks don't do the same thing.
Why am I still rolling this dice?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I got it. Natural 20.
Oh! So Adalar looks at Kezra and like, well, if I trust Kezra's word over this here fellow. You probably just saw some passerby Drake or something.
Would a 21 get it?
I mean, yeah, my deception DC is only a 14.
Wait, it's only a 14?
I'm not trained in deception.
Yeah, he's,
oh, well, he, then I know it obvious. Then, too.
I only rolled a 19.
I rolled a 3, so I got a 16. I'm like, that
good
doesn't mean
Lord,
it.
Good Lord, dude.
So yeah, I totally know that you're lying, but I'm going to stick with what I say, and I'm going to be like, oh, I'm sure you're imagining things. And I look over at Elkwood and Benson, and we exchange, I'm sure, a knowing glance.
Yes.
Oh, just laughing a little bit, just under his breath. Just like,
yeah, Kezra's uneasy, but yeah,
let's just keep staring at
sticks
him.
By his story.
Let's keep staring at him.
No dragons.
Gene Goblin is there, and he's like, "Listen.
Don't talk to my client.
My client has been up all night. You can't expect him to speak coherently about anything. How many sleepless nights have we had, and then imagine seeing things? Perhaps he's just not in his right mind. Let's move on from this.
This is the Saul.
Out of all
of
the
goblins.
Things I've come up with on the fly, Gene Goblin is easily my favorite.
Okay, Goblin with a snake. Skin wrapped around his neck like a tie.
I love it.
Hey, he's definitely it. Played by Saul Goodman, Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, yes.
He's just very straight.
Better call Gene. So, is there anything else we need to do in town before we go?
My
business is concluded. Elkwood, did you have anything else you'd like to do?
Oh, yes. I was heading to the fur. place. Crimson Furs.
Right. You're going to get some new threads. I am.
Yes, new threads.
He looks down at his clothing. It's like, after all this adventuring, I haven't been able to get to my clothes properly cleaned and pressed.
Yeah, how are your clothes not just, like, charred and cut up? And...
I mean, they are.
They just reek.
Adelar is like, kind of squirming inside his own skin because he's used to, like,
there's a fungus growing.
The comfort of home and just having clean robes every day.
If only
day.
The thing that sat atop your clothes was magical.
Why don't you have prestidigitation?
I'm like, if Jake wants to give me for free a robe of prestidigitation, like a activated
robe.
Command.
A robe of it?
Only your gloves are spotless.
Usually a ring or a wand, but robe is fun. So you guys want to go to Crimson Wood Furs?
Oh, yes.
Actually, I'm going to ask about a robe of prestidigitation.
Okay,
and it only works on the robe.
Right.
Kezar wants to go to an alchemist if there is one.
Benson will go to the alchemist with him.
Okay. So
just staring at him the whole time.
Elkwood and Adelar go to Crimson Wood Furs. Despite its specificity of its name, Crimson Wood Furs is a comprehensive haberdashery known for its high-end tailoring, gorgeous cold-weather outwear, and fine cobbling. The establishment takes pride in its origins as a luxury supplier to high-ranking Hell Knights and portraits of early Old Order of the Nail leaders wearing the shop's fine clothes line the store's mahogany walls.
Is this like an Eddie Bauer magazine, like you're flipping through and it's, then just yeah, Hell Knights yeah. like posing?
I immediately regret that I didn't come here.
Well, you don't know.
There's definitely a nude male model with just the Hell Knight helm covering his junk.
Nice.
You like walk in, you're like, wow, this place is fucking weird.
Wait, do you guys remember how we got the portraits and stuff from Hell Knight Hill?
Yeah.
I'm sure that Adelar has it on his thing, and as soon as
we also have that
in,
giant banner, remember?
The painting.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if they'd be interested in purchasing it for their decor.
Current owner and chief tailor, Winthrop Finney, male human tailor, played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Nice. Oh,
of course he is.
Yes.
I try to cast him in anything. Is a relative newcomer to Breach Hill, but he is passionate about his craft and about outfitting his customers in an exquisite finery. So you walk in. Please, come in. I'm sure I have the perfect thing for all of you to wear today. And he goes over and he starts taking like things off, like sizing you up. He measures your legs, cups your balls a bit.
Oh, finally, someone who knows how to take care of customers around here.
Finally, someone to cut my balls.
I feel like I need to tip him now.
And Chelyax was standard in Breach Hill.
Savages in Breach Hill.
God, we're classy.
Yes. Elkwood is going to come up to him first. And be, oh, yes, I would actually like some alterations to the wardrobe that I currently wear, or perhaps some new threads.
Oh, yes. Well, sorry, it's not that I dislike your clothes, it's just they make me nauseous.
Oh, as they should. I took them off of a hobgoblin.
Sorry.
Shut up. Now, I would like a little bit of alterations, a little bit of dye, a trim to the thread.
If you mean alterations, yes, I could throw them in the garbage and give you something new.
Especially not with the leather armor, because that's actually quite nice. If only you could maybe refinish it.
Yes, we will refinish your clothes. Is there some sort of style you're thinking? You could have this month's catalog headliner.
Yes.
And it's like the most glorious, like, Chelyax-looking robes.
Adelar's about to spend some money.
It's like, I was thinking something along with a dark gray with a yellow trim.
Yes, we could change that there. And he's, like, measuring out and stuff like that. And he picks up the edge of his robe, and he washes over it. And then it, like, changes color. And he's like,
oh,
Yes. This will work nicely. Let's say 5 gold pieces.
Ah, and could I add a hat?
You want a hat as well?
Yes, and he takes off his bandana that's probably he's wore for like such a long time.
He takes out tongs and grabs it.
And he's like, I don't need this. And then he just kind of tosses it. He's like, I'm thinking of like a troubadour style hat. Like one of those, like, billowy, slightly billowy that they wear. Kind of like bards.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like it's kind of like a fanciful, but
So you mean these over here? And he walks you over to a wall, and there's a bunch of display hats, and there's one that not the right color, but
yeah.
it definitely fits with the style you were looking for.
Yes, and he will go for one of those.
All right, so it'll be 6 gold total for all of it.
Now tell me, Mike, my good man, do you offer the hero's discount here?
Heroes. Oh, you're those here. Yes, we were told to do that.
Excellent. I'm sure the council gives you some sort of a, what is it called? A
compensation.
A
stipend?
No. It's like when you subsidized. I'm sure they subsidize this, correct?
No, we were told that it is part of tradition for... what exactly are you here for, anyway?
Ah, yes. As you can tell, my robes have undergone quite a beating. The white is now a light brown from all the dirt and
dust
I've encountered.
Did you pee in them?
I mean,
yes.
With all the monsters and creatures we've encountered, I might as well. But
so they peed on you?
Yes.
He went unconscious to a bunch of skeletons and pissed himself.
Elkwood, we don't mention the skeleton blender. Anyways, yes. I was wondering if you had any sort of robes with any magical incantations. Have you heard of the spell Prestidigitation?
You will not take my robes.
I wonder if I might commission a robe of prestidigitation so that my clothes could become instantly cleaned every night. I like sleeping in comfort and cleanliness.
We could perhaps order something. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. We will order only the finest for you.
I'd expect nothing less. It seems you are familiar with the practices of Chiliacs, as I can see by your models.
Are you from the great city of Chiliax?
Indeed I am.
Please, come to the back room.
Ooh.
Sweet.
Better clothes are back here now.
Ah, of course.
Tell me, I don't know if you know, but Chiliax, they are known for the devils and otherwise, but there's also a great temple of Abadar. Do you carry any Abadarian robes?
Yes. Would you... Like this one enchanted, and there's like it's like white and silvery, like lined with like gold trim and stuff.
Oh,
like
yes.
A, yeah.
Oh, that would be marvelous. Thank you.
Yes, we can do that for you. Perhaps a day.
Oh, perfect.
Good. Well, do you the price on what it is for the you're gonna roll it.
Prestidigitation?
Just for enchanting it.
I don't know anything about enchanting with like a first level spell.
I was going to say, it's a first-level spell.
It's yeah. Well, it's a cantrip.
Oh, Prestidigitation's a cantrip?
Oh, yeah.
It is now. Yeah.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
So that should be much cheaper.
Yeah. Because I know, like, a first-level
wand. First-level wand is 60 gold.
Yeah. So, I feel like it wouldn't be...
Probably be, like, half of that. Like, 30.
Sure.
All right.
I can look it up, but you just...
Yeah,
you just go ahead.
All right, and then the 20% off of that would be 24.
Right.
And then I'm going to roll diplomacy to bargain hunt to be like, well, we are both from Chiliax, perhaps. And he's like actually going to roll a society check first to see if he can remember some of his Chiliax bargaining before he rolls his diplomacy.
I feel like with this guy, it's probably high DC.
let me check my society.
And I was also kind of wrong. It's not a troubadour hat. It's just a bard hat, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right, so I got a 21 for my society to see if I can remember any Chiliaxian bargain techniques.
Yeah, so you say some jargon, and he's kind of like, ooh.
And I rolled a 32 for my diplomacy. Jesus.
There Lord. We go.
Well, he was indifferent towards you until you started talking his language. Yes. And then he was friendly. So you definitely critically succeeded that.
Okay. Critical success. You do outstanding work. So gain the amount of currency listed for the task, plus one, and your proficiency rank. Okay, so what was the task
level? It was
level?
The level 7 task, talking to this guy.
So yeah. That means... Okay, let me look at that. Plus 1. So that means I get the equivalent of a level 8 task. So I get 3 gold off the price.
Nice.
So I bring it from 24 to 21.
There you go.
And would you want me to make a separate check for Elkwood's stuff?
I mean, if Oak would...
if it's 20% off, then I think...
Then you're fine with that.
Yeah, he's fine with that.
Wow. Man, I mean, Bargain 20... Hunter, saving us major... Or saving me major coin.
So yeah, you outfit and everything like that, and then he's like, yo, bring your friends. I'm sure they'll want to dress as good as you.
Yes. Well, we shall see. They are, some of them are more into... practicality, but I do have a friend of mine.
What's more practical than looking good?
My thoughts exactly, but people have different ethos.
Kindred spirits.
So
yeah, I'd say the base cost for this item is probably like 40 or 45 gold.
40 or 45. All right, so
20% off and then 3 gold.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do. I guess what do you want to do? 40 or 45?
Yeah, let's just do 40. That's okay, fine.
So it's done the same day,
so 29
right?
29 off.
Like for my stuff,
like yeah, yeah. He could do that himself. It would just take a day for Adalars because he had to enchant and stuff. So,
good. Yeah, because like, and the outfit kind of like you requested is like slimmer.
Yeah,
but it's like I wouldn't say like revealing, but it fits better to him than it was because like his other stuff was just kind of like I wouldn't say baggy, but kind of like you know like if you're wearing a suit, but that good fitted suit.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that type of comparison.
Yep. Okay, so you guys get outfitted with your new threads, looking pretty baller.
I mean, not bad for 4 gold pieces.
I don't actually know if there's an alchemist in town.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You can make one. You can be the alchemist in town.
I'll pull up my dice roller, which I didn't expect to need.
Ooh.
Oh no.
There's the wizard, but that's not an alchemist, and I think that's all. I don't think Breach Hill has like a permanent alchemist.
Kelly, you want high or low?
High.
99.
Cool.
You find an alchemist.
Traveling alchemist, cool.
Gotta love Breach Hill and the traveling merchants.
His name is Dave.
The alchemist.
Hello there.
Hello, everyone mispronounces my name as Dave, and it's Dave.
Hello, Dave. Looking for some formula, if you have any. I'm looking for one in particular. Do you have a Drakeheart mutagen?
Drakeheart mutagen? That is one I have not heard in a long time. Let me see. Pulls out a giant book. A, B, C, D, 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 D. Oh, maybe it's in the back. Oh, it's by level. Goes back. Yes, I have one here.
I'd like to purchase a copy.
Ah, well, I don't know what the price is on it.
It's 1 gold for a formula, for a level 1 formula.
Yeah, okay.
So 8 silver.
That is so much value for what you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, and if he has any on stock, I'll buy them.
They're
4 gold a piece for the potions.
Right. He doesn't have any in stock. He usually just has, like, healing potions and, you know, general things. Yeah, so you hand over a gold and he gives you, like, pretty much a pamphlet.
Cool.
I would be interested to see what potions of healing you have.
Oh, we have many potions of healing. Are you looking to heal yourself from paper cuts or from stab wounds?
Stab wounds.
Stab wounds. Well, we have these level 2 healing potions.
And what are you charging for those?
Let me go to it.
Somewhere in the distance, Adalar's pride is hurt.
Hey, listen, man, you have spell slots. These things are always there.
Until they're not. Healing potions are up. Bye.
Well, if you're looking for these lesser healing potions are 12 gold pieces per. If you're looking for something much greater, let's say moderately better, these are 50 gold pieces.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they heal 3d8 plus 10, so.
Yeah.
If you want the paper cut ones, they're only 4 gold pieces.
Only 4? Yes.
Have you ever had a paper cut? They're awful.
Have you ever had a paper cut from cardboard? God, they're miserable. Feels like you're getting stabbed.
I had a friend that got a paper cut from a binder.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it was awful. Oh.
Give me 2 of the ones that cost 12.
Good. He takes them out and lays them on the counter.
Oh, what about the Breach Hill discount?
He doesn't know about it.
He might be a traveler, so...
I am a traveler. You get some sort of discount for what?
Saving the town.
Everyone's a hero here. It's literally a thing.
As far as I can tell, there's only four of us.
Right. So what, it would be 10 instead?
10%. Yeah, 10.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Fine, 20.
And I give him. What healing do those do?
He was counting.
Yep.
2d8, isn't it?
Yeah, 2d8 plus 5.
Sweet.
I mean, it's good.
It's okay. It's not 3d10 plus 24.
Yeah, well, what happens when you go down, asshole?
What do you mean, when I go down?
No one will ever target the healer. Ah, what are you thinking? He has new robes.
Abadar wouldn't let his chosen cleric fall. Oh,
yeah, especially if he like ended up in like a blender made of skeletons.
Never
Benson, we don't talk about the skeleton.
Yeah, you know, you remember that time I tried to pull you to safety? And you're like, no, I got it.
I have this. And then... Oh, no.
Okay. So, yeah, I have two healing potions.
That's good.
Really wanted one of the bigger ones, but I'm going to need that money for rebuilding.
Alrighty. So you guys get some potions, some new threads. Kezra gets some... he gets a brand new formulae.
Woohoo. I have to go to the baker.
Yes, to the baker. You ask around town and go, can I get pastries, cookies, something? And go, oh, yeah, if you want cookies, you need to go to this spot, and they give you directions to this place. You go up and you see a spot that has a dragon as the logo. It says Critical Hit Cookies. Weird, that's kind of meta.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of these. And it's like, and he's going to go in there?
Got you it. Walk in, there's a woman on an ivory throne.
Yes.
You've come to indulge yourself in the cookies from the gods.
Yes. Yes, I have. I need cookies in the shape of Desna.
I have those here. She magically creates them in front of you.
Oh. The most powerful magical being.
We should have recruited her.
Oh my god.
Can they also be mind control cookies so I can deal with these goblins pretty easy?
That sounds evil. No, just hand it.
Perfect.
To be 2 gold pieces.
He just flips. What about the hero's discount?
2 gold pieces.
Okay, fine. And just flips it.
I do not care about the affairs of mortals.
What is
I'm
your
here to give cookies.
What is your name, strange magic lady?
My name is Kerry Vogren. You can buy more of these at criticalhitcookies.com.
What is the .com?
All right, she's definitely a witch killer.
From the future, you'll find this thing called a computer and the internet, and it connects all things.
Oh. That sounds way too powerful. It's like a level 9 spell. Maybe 10. The unheard of 10.
Go. Enjoy the cookies.
And instead of walking out, I get teleported out or something. The storefront disappears.
When you walk out, you turn around, the building wasn't there at all.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh, I've went to a very strange place. It's like a dark, desolate alley now. Like, oh.
You know how, like, when you go to, like, a fae town or something? Like,
yeah.
You
never know.
Like, nothing yes. actually exists.
Yes.
It's kind of like yes. the fae gold. Like, they give you the gold, and then you get to it the next day, and it's, like, leaves, and you're like, what the hell? And what other place? No, I think that is it.
I feel like I just met God.
Met a god of baking.
Alrighty. We good?
You guys heading home?
All right, so we all meet up. Adelar very specifically smells the baked goods and is like, "Ah, Elkwood, I see you got your bargaining chips.
Yes.
May I see them closer up? They smell like they were baked in Abadar's first vault."
And he is going to put them away because he sees your look. And he's like, "They're not for you."
Do you feel like you might have to kill Adelar for
Adelar strangely allured to the cookies.
It's like the One Ring, but it's cookies. Yes.
You cannot add more to your punch.
Cast them into the fire. It's like, no, they need to bake. Put them in.
Yeah. They need to go in the oven. All right, you guys get back to Citadel Old Terrain.
Mm-hmm.
The dwarves are waiting, or they come up shortly behind you. So we talked about this off air, but we need to talk about it on air. Repairing the Citadel is a hassle. What you need to do first, so there are basic repair activities, and I'll just list them and then talk about the one we need to do first. So, clean, which is the one you need to do first. You spend the day cleaning, hauling up broken furniture, disposing of detritus, and making rooms clear enough to begin repairs. Citadel Ultramarine requires 8 days of cleaning before any other basic activities can begin.
Ooh, doggy!
It doesn't require a crafting check, nor does it cost gold. However, you gotta do it. Mm. So the dwarves can clearly clean stuff, and they will have to in order to start doing repairs. So you can tell them what you want repaired first, or what room you want cleaned out and repaired first, and then they'll start working on that. What do you want them to work on first?
I think we were thinking the stairs leading down to the vault and then down to the Alceta's ring.
So. Oh, that's a different thing. So, rebuilding the collapsed stairs. Oh, yeah, I didn't go through all these. So, you'll have to clean the courtyard.
Yep.
Right.
And then make general repairs, which is to the furnishing, replacing floorboards and rehanging doors, blah, blah, blah. Rebuild the battlements, which is, just working along the northern section. Rebuilding the collapsed stairs and repair the crumbled walls. Clearly, you need to work inside out with a lot of this stuff, but... if you want to rebuild the collapsed stairs... You worked, so it's a crafting check, or you can hire a stonemason or organized workers, meaning that you can just tell the dwarves to do it, and they'll get everything together for you. You work to clear rubble and rebuild the stairs connecting the citadel floors. If you want to do it yourself, it does require a crafting check. However, if you just have them do it, then they will always succeed. It just they can't critically succeed, so it always takes the set amount of time. Hmm. Repairing the stairs from the courtyard to the battlement, so going from the courtyard up to where you guys fought Calmont, that takes 4 days to work on. Repairing the stairs from the courtyard to the vault, so going down one level, requires 4 days. Digging out the long flight of stairs to Alceta's ring takes 8 days.
Yeah.
So, that's something you can work on. I pretty much just want to know what you want the dwarves to work on and what you want you guys to work on. Because what you guys want to work on, clearly you need to clean first. But yeah. The next day, what do you guys want to work on? Because then there's like crafting checks and stuff involved. So.
Well, I believe our priority is getting down to Alceta's ring.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think we kind of talked about this off air, but we were thinking of like clean up the courtyard first.
Okay.
Then the next day, they would start their repairs. And then when they start their repairs, every day after, we'll just clean different rooms.
Okay.
So it's like they'll kind of always be like a couple steps behind us, but gotcha. We won't do anything just for the first 8 days that requires any crafting checks.
Okay. Now the dwarves come with you like the same day.
Yeah.
So you want you guys and the dwarves to clean out the courtyard. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you guys spend the day. It does say, I'll say because the eight of you are working together that it only takes half a day. So you guys definitely clean this out. Cleaning the courtyard is a specific one. I'm sorry. You work to repair the collapsed northern wall, drain and fill in the flooded sunken area, and clean out the weeds. This would usually take 6 days of work.
Oh, just general cleaning of the courtyard itself. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, repairing the collapsed northern wall is the main
thing. And getting rid of the swimming pool we have.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's not an easy task.
It's just a breeding ground.
I will actually go ahead and say that the cleaning the citadel itself is actually 6 days instead of eight, only because you did have the goblins.
Oh,
clean.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Clean.
Partial. Yeah.
Right.
And now I have a bargaining chip to get more of them.
Right.
Which pretty much his thing was. Yes, just turn it, take all this, put it in a pile, and we'll just burn it.
Yep.
Because they like fire, and it might entice them to do it. With cookies.
Cookies. So you guys want to spend your 6 days cleaning out just the citadel?
Yes. So one of those days, I want to take Kezra aside, and probably after like the, maybe close to when like the day's work is done. And Kezrai, I need to speak with you.
What is it?
A couple days ago, when we were in town and that man talked about seeing a dragon, Abadar gave me a bit of insight into your intentions. You seemed quite uneasy when he mentioned it, and seems like a lot of things happened in one night. You getting the snake, working all night, the dragon appearing, just seems a bit too coincidental, if you will. Are you sure that you didn't see anything that night?
I said what I said. A dragon in this area is ludicrous. I was tired. You must have misread me.
I suppose. Anyways, there's some other business that I wanted to ask you about. You know how the path to get to Alceta's ring is quite dangerous. Furthermore, it is far away from our present location, and I worry about its safety. If someone else were to discover it and fix it under our noses without us knowing, I fear that, perhaps getting Rinaldi back could be undermined, and we do have an agreement with her, so I want to make sure we make good on our bargain. As I've been communing with Abadar during these last couple of days, he has shown me many things. I feel as if my connection and powers are growing, and he has taught me about a specific spell with which I can make an area trapped with certain magics, so that if anyone crosses the threshold without saying the password, they will be beset upon by spells that I place inside of it. It is a type of warding magic. I was wondering if you would accompany me down back to Alceta's ring the long way, so that we can set up some wards there in case anyone else tries to make their way to the vaults without us knowing. That way, we would have some sort of protection.
It's probably a good idea.
Oh, and one more thing. We've known each other a while, so I trust you a good deal, but these new companions of ours, I'm not entirely sure about their intentions. Benson seems like a man of honor, but he seems plagued by something. I don't know what kind of relationship he has with his family, and why he is here instead of with the House Black. And Elkwood, he seems like a good man, but once again, I do not know what is in it for him. I know what's in it for us. We like making coin and making our way in this world, and I know we have intentions of doing good business here, so I that's why I feel comfortable us going and doing this. So I was thinking perhaps under the cover of night, we could go back down to our city's ring and set up these traps.
It works for me. As you know, I only trust myself.
Indeed.
It's
an 8-hour
trip.
Yeah, it's a long trip.
Yeah.
Oh, where are they?
I believe it was 6.5 hours to walk through the cave system, assuming you don't get lost because it is a cave system. So
we'd probably, I think we'd probably aim to leave. We'd want to go straight there, straight back. So I probably think we'd aim to leave maybe around like 8 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, we're going on a... We have business
we're
to
attend
to.
We're going on a date.
probably, like, under the guise of, like, we have business to attend to in town or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Krezo, you got the salami, right?
Yes.
I got the cheese.
It's
a picnic. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know how you want to do that, Jake.
There's also the issue of us needing to spy on that other mason.
Yeah, well... Only we
can take care of that.
Benson
and Kezra, Benson and Elkwood.
Right.
And are we assuming at this point that we've already been back to get our purchases?
Yeah.
And during those times, Elk would like to talk to Helba.
Okay.
Because he's going to let, I honestly, I don't know if I mentioned it prior, but about the Alceta's ring, like specifically of what is down there. Desna, you know, she's all for Desna, I would assume.
You want to talk to Helba or you want to talk to Warble?
Warble, sorry.
Ah, okay.
That's Warble, cool. Helba's the chieftain, right?
Yeah. She's Warble's cousin, if I remember correctly.
Oh, nice. But he would like to talk to her about it because he wants to try to get her if she has influence over the goblins to so they help a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so... Yeah.
I'm basically pulling, like, don't make me get the other one.
Yeah, to come down here
and, like, whip you in the shape. Because, like, I feel like being able to, like, see the statue of Desna would be very good for her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you tell her that there's literally, like, a statue of Desna down there, all right, so, yeah, you go get Warble, and she's like, Oh, Elkwood, how are you today? How are your adventures out there in Range Ring and things?
Ooh, it's not quite well. And, like, the thing is, it's like, now he's all dressed in, like, that dark gray. And,
you
like,
look fantastic, you know, did I tell you that?
Oh, it's, the wares of the Crimson Fur Company. They, quite a nice.
He's so good at what he does. Do you have a date tonight? Is that why you're dressed up?
Oh, no, I think it's just...
Who's the lucky lady? Tell me, Elkwood.
No lucky lady tonight. I'm just thinking it was a time for a change. But I do have something to ask of you. No messages to be sent this time, except to your bumblebrushes.
You want me to speak with them? Are they well? Are they behaving?
Behaving. That is a good one. So I'm able to at least get some help from them with cookies. But
they baked you cookies?
No, I got them cookies to clean.
You baked them cookies? That's quite nice of you.
Oh, yes, completely. I did. No help at all. No mysterious goddess. And he, like, ventures. He's like, oh, yes. But I will like to include that there is a statue of Desna underneath of Citadel Alterine.
What? Her eyebrows, like, furrow, like, she's like, what? Why? I don't expect Hell Knights to have worshipped Desna. That's quite odd.
It is much older than the Hell Knights.
There's some ancient Desna statue?
Multiple statues. One of Desna, one of other Alceta, I think, right? Alceta was one of them. And just
Alceta, let me roll to see if I remember that.
A cleric that doesn't know, yeah.
That's strange. I read about her, but it was merely a blurb in a pamphlet.
The Alceta worshiper just coming through a pamphlet. It's like,
oh. She likes dolls, is that correct?
Yeah.
Dolls?
I don't get it either.
Oh. Do you think she's a fan of portcullises?
Oh, I think so. There's not a door.
Oh, they're the most fantastic dolls. They're large and iron-barred.
And they're quite nice on the outside of a building. But anyway, in order to get below easily, there is a bunch of rubble in the way, and we have some dwarves we hired to help assist us. But the thing is, we do have a bit of rubble and trash that we are trying to clean up, and if we could get the bumblebrushes to maybe help get rid of the small things off the ground. But they seem to be quite, they keep trying to get me to kill horses for them.
Though the appetite always surpasses me. You know, I will go speak to them. I will make my way there later today. I do have some other things. I got a letter for you as well. I don't know why they sent it to me. Perhaps it was maybe they just got the return to sender and just sent it there.
And they didn't CC me. Okay.
No, it was strange. I did not read it. Confidentiality is all respected here. So I will go ahead. I will hand you this, and I will finish up things here, and I will be there later tonight. I will see what I can convince the goblins to do. We are completely indebted to you. You helped my bumblebrushes, and therefore we should help you.
Much appreciated. As that, it'll be nothing heavy lifting. Just getting some of the furniture out that's broken and destroyed, and just to give us a little bit of easier time to clean, and then we can start refurnishing the entire citadel.
Oh, you plan on refurnishing this thing? Oh. I thought they were just ruins. I thought they would just be inhabited by monsters when my goblins went there.
Oh, we're planning on making it grand.
Are you sure that's legally okay?
We have a deed.
You have a deed?
Yes.
Who leaves a deed in the bottom of a citadel?
Apparently Hell Knights.
Hell Knights are quite strange.
That they are.
Alright, so she hands you your letter, and she to finish up her daily work, and heads on out.
Beautiful.
You want me to read that letter there, Mark?
Yeah.
So, you open up the letter, and you hear it in your head, and this was a magically sent thing. What do I want you to do? Get closer to those portals. I will send Vaso out when you and your friends get clear. Speaking of which, let me know who this Benson fellow is. The Black House I look into. They have tendrils reaching everywhere. When the heat cools down, I will send one of our knights to investigate. Keep an eye on Kezra, the way you describe him. He has loose morals. Make sure you let me know before Demira leaves. There are days of travel for her.
And he just kind of like folds it up the letter and just burns it immediately. I mean, outside the dream house, of course.
Firefighter comes up with a fight with an extinguisher.
You just light on fire and throw it into the drapes.
Oh crap, Bucket Brigade, go!
No!
Why? I dream of fire every night.
Alright, so Warble is heading there to talk to the Bumble Pressure Goblins.
I had to get mom on them, you know. Just
had to get great auntie. All right, what else does everybody else want to do?
Imagine I'm just going to be cleaning.
Yeah, like, right. And later on, he'll talk to Benson about investigating Mel Gibson.
Yeah, we need to do that.
I mean, other guy, but yeah.
Quintino Persandi.
Yeah, Persandi. The Persandi Brawls.
Persandi
Brothers.
In the old preparation room. We'll be setting up his alchemical lab and begin crafting some potions.
Uh-huh. Oh, and he did want to talk to the head dwarf, I guess, because like he was take the tour of certain places, and he was trying to think of where he wants to put the nice little tub, like because he really does just want to make a relaxation.
Right.
Like that's one of the things like he was used to in the kind of his life, that like being able to like soak after a day of work.
Gotcha.
Very relaxed.
Alright, so if we look at the map, you walk around with Rorsk. Rorsk is sort of just like looking at places, and he's like, you're in a A-17. It's got a big hole in the wall, but I feel like this would be a pretty good place to put a big old bathtub here. We could even put one of them standing showers with the rain head on it. You know.
Oh, that would be very relaxing. I already love it. Only problem is A-17 is leading into from. We have the citadel quite sectioned off into who gets what area, and the door that leads right into it would be, if you're saying here, would be the bathhouse to get. I would have to walk through it to get to my rooms.
So you want something more direct? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just trying to think of a different location for it. I mean, as much as I understand the location for that, it's just it's kind of. Right there.
Well, hey, you know, this is your house. If you want to, put a bath wherever you want. Then.
Unless you can knock a door that goes straight to A-18.
We can chop down this. We can chop it down.
I'll leave you to it. That actually would suit me quite well.
Yeah. He just immediately takes a pickaxe and just.
Whole wall falls down. No.
It's like
this is barely structurally sound.
It's like the crumble, and then you just hear it like, "What was that?"
Whole thing falls over.
Oh shit!
I rolled a natural 20 on my alchemical check.
Yes. Nice.
And I don't want to try to take any more, but like I sent to you something to see if they half orcs. Like, remember those half orcs that ran with the bloody bright?
Right.
If that was possible to hunt them down. For more reward money.
Is possible, but let's go somebody else.
Yes. I was just throwing that out there first.
All right,
so down in the caverns, Kezra and Adalar are making their way towards Alcetus Ring.
And two shadows appear.
I mean,
oh god,
fuck.
Wouldn't be surprising.
What about that Tixitog? Is that Tixitog just gone?
Oh, dude, she left forever ago. That was a long time ago.
She's terrified of me.
Yeah.
Big scary man. She appears. I can lead you. Just give me some food.
So you guys walk through the caves once more. You did it once, so you guys have a pretty good cursory knowledge of which way you went. And you realize that you had an argument at one turn, and it led you down to one wrong path, and you were like, no. Benson said it was this one. We gotta go down this one. So you guys make it to that large room that had the river running through it.
Yeah.
And as you make your way into that area, you walk through and the river was moving as slowly. But you hear what sounds like a splash as you kind of like walk into the room.
Hmm. All right, I guess Adlar is going to look around. 25.
Kez, are you with him?
Yep.
All right.
I wouldn't go without him.
We're only splitting the party.
Yeah.
Well, 16.
Kezor, did you hear that?
I think so.
Hold on, I'm trying to find a stealth. Boop.
Maybe. No. I didn't hear it. Never mind. Nope.
But when would you get that dollar?
25.
You did, and you happened to see what looked like humanoidish frog-looking things.
Oh my god.
As they jumped into the water really quick. These do not look like boggarts, though, I'll give you that.
Oh.
Their eyes are huge.
Did I get a good enough look at them to...
make me a nature check.
Nature. Let's see. What do I know about nature? You know, I am untrained in nature, but because of my clever improvisation...
Hey, there we go.
I can still make the check. Ugh, and of course I roll a 2, so 8.
Yeah, you're like, this bargers have really unusually large eyes.
Kezra, watch out. It appears to be some sort of boggart. They haven't approached us, but we should be on our guard just in case.
Kezra reaches over, touches you, and you turn invisible.
Oh!
Baller. And awesome. Kezra also turned invisible.
All right, so you guys go ahead. Let me pull up some tokens here really quick.
That's freaking good.
Oh, pull up tokens, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you guys are invisible and you walk across this bridge. I will go ahead and give you guys another knowledge check because these things are looking towards you and they're trying to find you, but they cannot see you, so they're a little
confused. What was the type of check?
Nature.
I don't think I have that. Nope.
I failed again. I got a 9. It's embarrassing.
So, the creature's eyes glow in a 30-foot emanation. Just bing! Both of them like spotlights. 30-foot cone.
Huh.
And they are reaching sort of in that direction. Like, they're sort of just, like, shining their eyes, just trying to, like, see if they can see anything. And they begin walking towards you all. I would like you guys to actually roll initiative. As this might get interesting.
How many dice do I have to go through today?
All right.
26.
26 for Kes. Damn.
Yeah, I nailed it.
16.
6. They got a 21. And you said 16 there, Adelar?
Yeah.
All right. So, Kezzer, you can see that they are starting to walk towards you guys, and they're slowly creeping, but, like, they, like, flash their eyes. Like, it's a one-action thing, so they flash their eyes really quick. And then they don't see anything, so then they try to continue walking closer. So go ahead and take your turn.
I guess Kezra is just going to hold up right next to the bank of the river.
Okay.
And hold his action.
All right. So right now,
if it comes in range, I'm going to grab one.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, you guys are just outside of that 30 feet that their eyes are shining at. So it's not quite hitting you yet, but you can sort of feel like if you're in that, it's going to like really mess with you.
Even though we're invisible?
Yes. What? It's not necessary. If you roll a knowledge check, I'll be able to help you. it is their turn, so they are going to take a few steps forward. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the one on the left, on the west, is going to shine it over towards the bridge area, so he actually misses you. However, the one to his right, or the other one on the right side, shines it on the other half of the cavern, and it shines it on top of both of you guys. So I will need you guys to make me a fortitude save.
Woof.
Oh. 22.
So you both get a success. As the light shines in your face, you are dazzled for one round.
Okay.
So dazzled, that means mischance, right?
Yeah, dazzled is...
Oh, wait, I have the...
It's the 20% chance,
yeah.
The DC 5.
Yeah, yeah, concealed from you, yeah.
Okay.
But they still don't see you.
Okay, so it's my turn now,
It is Adelar's turn,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kezzer can't see me, so. from the darkness, it's probably a surprise to him, they're going to hear muttering of an incantation, and it's going to end with burst. And right on top of the guy on the right, a loud cacophonous sound echoes from that spot as a big wah, 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 wah sound reverberates, and I'm going to need them to make me a fortitude save.
Dubstep, just.
Oh, actually, I'll roll my 5 to see if how close I get to them.
All right.
Because I'm dazzled. Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. Okay, so the one on the left got a 25.
Let me see my thing. Okay, so that makes it, but so it'll take half.
Okay, and the other one got a 16, so
ooh,
I assume
that's a fail.
That's a fail. Okay. All right.
So that would be 2d10 sonic damage. So the one that succeeded, he just takes half damage. The one that failed is going to be deafened.
Oh, okay.
For one round. Oh, yes. Oh, 16 points of damage to the one that failed.
Ooh, okay.
And 8 points to the one that succeeded.
Okay.
It's a loud sound burst reverberates through heaven. And I am now visible.
Okay, so you become visible. Kezzer, you hear Adelar do a little incantation and then boof.
How deep is this water?
It's only like 3 feet. It's a very shallow.
All right, Kezzer will just hold his action until one comes in range.
Okay. It is their turn. one on the left, it now sees Adalar and turns to him and is going to shine his eyes again at you. Okay, so what it says is bright light shines from the creature's eyes in 30-foot emanation, also creating dim light for 60 feet. Each creature in the bright light, when the creature uses this action or who enters it while the light continues, must succeed a 4-2 save. It is then temporarily immune for 1 hour.
Oh, am I so...
So it tries it, and it doesn't affect you.
Okay.
So it didn't realize that it had affected you last time because yes. You were invisible.
Okay. Oh, so that was a 2-action spell I just realized. Could I use my last action spell
to identify go it?
Yeah, I just realized. Gotta use all my actions.
Yeah, no.
13.
No.
Okay.
So it turns and shines its lights on you, and it doesn't seem to do anything. It then turns to its partner and seems to flash the lights in almost a Morse code. Just two quick flashes. And it turns, and the other one turns to him and goes.
Huh.
And they now walk towards you. 1, 2, 3.
And I.
1, 2, 3.
Reach out and hit this bitch.
All right.
So he is flat-footed to me.
Yep.
Twenty-six to hit.
Because he is flat-footed, that is a critical hit.
Oh, yes.
With the cinder claw.
Oh, man.
Lovely.
Just rip his fucking throat out.
We're going to do a lot of damage here.
Oh, that's right, because cinder claw. Yes.
1d6 all right. Fire. And so.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's going to be a lot.
And poison, right?
Oh.
So I do 20 slashing damage,
uh-huh.
4 lightning, and 4 fire.
Oh, my God.
So 28 total.
It dies. As it comes up, it just hears you swing, and it's like big gullet just goes, it just gets ripped, and it just drops it.
Awesome. So I'm visible.
You are visible. This one... The other one clearly freaked the hell out as its friend's throat got ripped out. It is going to try to get 2 attacks on you. So it has a jaw attack and it's got claws, so it's going to try to reach out and hit you with them jams. Jaw attack, 12 total.
No.
And the claws, the little agile biz, 19.
Just hits.
Kel, you had the Wand of Mage Armor. Did you cast that today, I'm sure?
Yeah. Yeah, it's already.
Okay.
You take 3 points of damage as the claw sort of nicks you a little bit.
Oh, man. That's a lot.
Doesn't even get through my magical health.
All right. After their turn, it comes to Adalar.
All right. Adalar, being close to this beast, he's actually gonna recoil a bit in fear, and instinctually he kind of raises up his hands like, ugh, and a glowing warm shield appears before him. And once again, he looks a little confused as it appears, but doesn't really have time to think about it. And then he takes another action to step back, and... Oh wait, so that was 2 actions. Let's see. He's going to give Kezra some guidance. Like, Abadar, give Kezra the guidance to slash out again as he did. You get a plus 1. That's my turn.
This guy's so dead.
All right. Kezra, it's your turn.
3 swipes.
Oh, this thing is dead.
Only a 16 on the first hit.
What about the guidance?
17.
That is a miss.
Really? Damn.
Second swing, I rolled a 4.
Ah.
All right, natural 19. So that'll be 28 to hit.
That is a crit.
Yes.
Top the negatives?
Yeah.
Damn.
The weapon's made for Kessler.
Yeah. Oh my god, yes.
So, 23 damage. I rolled really low.
It is dead.
Wow. That was the one that got death for it.
Yeah, it was deafened, yeah. It was going to try to run next turn. It sort of lashed out in anger, but nah, it didn't have the chance to.
Maybe his ghost can run away.
You see its ghost rise up and go, huh, and leaves.
I love this gauntlet.
It's awesome.
It's a little wild.
All right, so you guys finish off these odd frog-like creatures with large eyes, like the basilisk from Dark Souls.
Hmm. Kessler, did you... And, like, for the split, like, the few seconds after the battle ends, like, that shield is still in front of Adalar. Like, Kessler, do you see this?
Yes, it's one of my signature spells.
Did you cast this on me?
No. Did you cast it?
I'm not sure. I've seen this once before. Actually, when we were in this very cave, I awoke and it was before me. I thought I was seeing things, but seeing it here now, I'm not quite sure what's going on. This is strange.
Can you do it again? It is a useful spell. I know you've been dabbling in arcane more recently.
Indeed, yes. I guess I'm picking up more from you than I thought I would. I'll have to pray on this. Well, that was strange. I'm gonna try to get a better look at these creatures now that we're not in combat. And I'm gonna try one more time. See if I recognize anything about these things. This will be my last time. Oh, gosh. I got a 2, a 3. No, I got a 2, a 7, and a 4. So 10.
Ah. So 10. You study it for like an hour.
No, I don't take an hour.
He just kicks it into the river.
And you realize that these things are called Blindheims.
What?
Blindheims.
Huh.
Inhabitants of damp subterranean caves, Blindheims resemble stubby humanoids with oversized frog-like heads and bulbous eyes. Their eyes emit a soft glow at all times, but a Blindheim can draw back their heavy membrane that normally covers them to emit an intense intense light as bright as day. Mm. These simple creatures use their lights to draw in or disorient prey, mostly small animals like lizards, rodents, or fish. And wherever they might go after larger prey if trying to feed their young. I'll peek behind the curtain. If you fail the fortitude, so you succeeded, which means you were dazzled. If you fail it, you're blinded for 1d4 hours, or 1d4 rounds. If you critically fail, you are blinded for 1 hour.
Ouch. Nice.
Yep. Awful. It sucks. But yeah, they do have a thing called signal lights to communicate at a distance. Blindheims flash their eye lights in specific patterns. So yeah, they can literally do like danger, all is safe, captured food, come here, let's mate, excited, sadness.
Let's mate.
Yeah, rapid strobing is let's mate.
So, anyone else that gets seizures.
Yeah. You look down the cave, you just see a bunch of strobing lights.
You're like, oh no.
You're like, oh, again, fucking Blindheim orgies down there. So you guys continue on your way and you get back to the cave that had Renali and the spiders and Raldar.
So we I think I want to place the wards you know where the hole is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have placed the wards there. That way we don't have to, like, climb down, climb back up. It needs, like, a choke point, so...
Yeah, it was a pretty bad choke point. I mean, if you remember just before that fight, it was a miracle that Elkwood wasn't seen or heard or perceived at all. Because if he was, they would have fucking murdered him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can put it right here and...
So I'm going to place two of them.
Okay.
One of them a little, like, kind of, like, in the midsection of the hole, I'll like be, I have like a piece of chalk with me, and I'm like drawing like stuff on the walls, mm-hmm. Kind of like thinking to himself like, oh, what was that thing that yes, and he kind of scribbles it on there, and then he whispers the words that he just whispered in the cavern where they're fighting the frogs, and he's like, burst, and he puts a sound burst inside there, and then he walks up a little ways, kind of like. More towards the entrance of the hole, and he draws like another glyph, but then in this spell that he puts in, you see Kezra, you see like necrotic energy like seep from his fingertips, and it kind of looks as this like disease and decay itself makes its way into this ward as he casts Sudden Blight.
Ooh.
Cool.
And for all you fallen.
Kezra thinks that one's cool.
Yeah. So it says.
So soundburst. Whatever.
What it does is it rots. You accelerate the process of decay in the area. Each living creature in the area takes 2d10 negative damage.
Damn.
And a creature afflicted by a disease takes a -2 circumstance penalty to this save.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it's a 20-foot burst, so the burst is bigger than. Sound burst.
Gotcha.
Sound burst is 10.
I do have a question. So with these wards, what exactly is the like criteria? Because like you know, certain like creatures like snakes and stuff like that, you know, can clearly be down here. What exactly are you making like the? I just want to make sure, like that it's not just going to go off, yeah, like when a rat scrambles by.
Rinaldi steps through it. Hey guys, what's going on? Bam! Boom.
God, I just forgot something in my cave.
Okay. Oh, you can set a password, a trigger, or both for the glyph. Okay. So,
medium or a larger sized creature passes through?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to also set a password, but you don't know anything about glyphs or warding or anything, do you? I don't think it's in your spell repertoire.
No.
Okay. So I just whisper a word, I don't know if Kezra hears it or not, but I just like whisper a word, the password, and it's in my head.
Okay.
Is it money?
Jelly bean.
Rutabaga.
That's a rutabaga.
All right. So you guys set that up, so you guys can walk in and out of there.
And as I'm leaving, I say, Kezra, I have to warn you just in case you hear of anyone else trying to come down through here the same way. These glyphs that I put up, they are triggered if something our size or larger crosses through. So that way nothing small triggers it, but if we want to pass through safely, I must be present in order to ensure safe passage. Otherwise, as you saw, the magic that coursed out of me, it will hurt a lot.
Yes, rutabaga, whatever.
Let's go. wait, I didn't say that.
Do you guys want to try to work on the Hunter Gate while you're here?
I was kind of thinking about doing that.
Okay.
We took the like whole night to get here. We might as well.
Yeah.
So
you can sleep in the chamber. It's like so peaceful in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally one way in, one way out. So yeah. You know. Right.
And Rinaldi's just there. I mean, just chilling.
Yeah, I can work.
No,
on
she's
that.
Not. She's with you guys. I actually imagine Rinaldi like just like making a web in like the battlements, and like she's got like a hammock.
Yes.
She's like, yep, I'll get home one day. Just swinging back and forth.
Can you help? Can you help me get home?
she provides webbing for rope. So, repairing the Hunter Gate. So you need to be trained in crafting or thievery, which you are trained in craft.
Expert in craft.
So you'll do pretty good at this. So use the Hunter's Arrowhead, which I hope that you got back from Elkwood to tell him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
to guide the misaligned magic of the Hunter Geek back to the proper pathways through the stone's intricate carvings and decorations. So I imagine it's chakras isn't exactly the right word, but just sort of like the energy pathways are sort of like jumbled up.
Like a ley line, almost?
Yeah.
The energy is jumbled.
Yeah. So you can either attempt a crafting check to repair. In this case, the Hunter's arrowhead serves as the repair kit needed for this activity. Regardless of the skill used, the activity takes an hour to perform. So, like I said, you guys can take an hour since you're down here anyway.
Right.
So go ahead and make a crafting check.
So
you said you'd be trained in this, right?
Yes.
So a success for repairs, you restore 5 hit points to
this
the
one has
item.
Its own thing. Okay.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Do you? Adelar is kind of debating whether or not to help. He's kind of. Kazra, would you like help with this?
I'll probably need it. I got a 15.
Okay, I'll try. I can do it. I can do it untrained because it's a trained action.
Roll poopy.
Wait, no, not this dice. Not this dice. Wait, no, this one.
Not those.
Oh, gosh, both are garbage today. We'll
do you like one of mine?
Ah. 21, so I aid.
So that gets you to a
16.
That is a fail.
Yeah.
The Hunter Gate is not repaired. And as you are sort of like putting your hands along it and you're sort of like feeling the magic, Adelar, you look and you see Keza start to convulse for a second.
Oh.
And he's just like, arr! And you see an orange arc of magical energy lance through his body.
Oh, man.
You become clumsy too for 1 hour.
Oh,
wow.
It fucking wrecked you trying to do this.
Cool.
And I'll tell you, that was a regular failure.
Oh my gosh, crit fail. You die.
Just lobotomy.
You see an eye in the center. Do you pick it up?
You guys are kind of like stumbles back. Oh, that hurt.
Kez, are you okay?
Yeah, I think I'm okay to keep going on.
Should we take some time to rest before attempting again?
No, clumsy doesn't affect my crafting skill.
Oh. A new attempt kit to repair the portal cannot be made again for another 24 hours.
Wow.
Oh, but I probably should sleep on it.
Wow.
Insane. Yeah, that is another question. I guess you attempt to do it again, nothing really happens. Kedra, maybe we need to wait some time. Do you think it's worth it to wait and try it again?
I
mean, we came all this way. It took 12 hours to get here. I mean, 6 hours.
We don't exactly know how long this will take to do it over again. And our friends might be wondering where the hell we are.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
we're just partying.
I haven't even noticed them gone.
Oh my god, we don't have signed contracts anymore.
Have you noticed how positive and untoxic things are now?
Maybe I should just study on this and try again when the stairs are clear.
That sounds like a good idea.
All right, so you guys, you rest for an hour, so Kezra isn't stumbling around like a fucking drunken idiot. And you guys make your way back. You spend a long day doing it. Cool. Benson, after a long, hard day's work, you are settling down. You can. The dwarves are literally sleeping here, by the way. They have like a little camp because that's way too annoying to go back and forth a few hours every day. And so you can hear them just sort of like getting into a ruckus and they're fighting with goblins. And the kobolds are like, "No, Kezra's great. You shut up. Lord Kezra will kill you."
I love this little bastard.
Though they're probably not wrong.
You were laying down for the night, and you take off for. You haven't been wearing armor for days, but you change into your nightgown or whatever you wear.
Was I able to get the statue?
They're working on cleaning stuff up before he actually starts working on that.
Not the statue of yourself, God.
It's not a statue of myself.
It's not me. I just look like the guy.
Is it up in your room? So like when you wake up, first thing you see in the morning.
It's nowhere now.
Yeah. As you lay down, your side starts to burn. You're like, ow. And you're not too sure if you like twisted it or something like that. It's not a usual like muscle, you know, pain. You look down and the scar of the claw on your side is starting to smolder. And you hear inside your head, Block. Block. We're not finished. I'll see you guys next time.
Nice. He's not dead. John's like, what can I do?
Have you ever wanted a podcast that tackles the hard questions, like why do wizards wear those pointy hats? Is it morally okay to burn your name into a table? Is there a difference between dead and never waking up? Well, if you've ever wanted to know the answers to any of these questions, then I have a podcast for you. We are Goblets and Gays, a bi-weekly Pathfinder 2E podcast. Join our cast of an angsty barbarian, a pyromaniac goblin, a girl whose family loved astrology a little too much, a cultist, and a Hot Topic reject as they journey to a lost city and try to keep a twink alive. Follow us all on your social media at Goblets and Gays, join our Discord as well, and we hope to see you out there. Goodbye.